Well, hello again there, folks, or Merry Season's greetings, as we say now. I've been looking back on the year on 2019 and trying to think of what is the theme of this year been? What have been the what is the thread that's ran through 2019? How will we remember 2019 and years to come when you look back on it and you think of what happened? I mean, it's much of a muchness, really. It's all just a sort of grey blob the last few years, I think. And it's hard to distinguish one from the other. But in 2019, what I think we will remember, or what stands out as we had to the end of it, is narratives and false narratives being pushed and being obviously false. Being obviously see-through and synthetic. And right now, there's hundreds, literally hundreds of videos being uploaded onto YouTube, and they're all going to focus on tearing apart the rise of Skywalker. They're all going to be saying that it's a big mess, and saying there's nothing original in it, saying that it moves too fast. And also, you'll have more thoughtful people saying that, well, the previous film, The Last Jedi, was such a postmodern train wreck that all of the narratives and all of the essence of the Star Wars franchise was ridiculed and trashed, and that now Jar Jar Abrams is having to pick up the pieces, and there's only so much you can do when your expectations have been subverted to that degree. There's nowhere to take the story anymore. You've just got to muddle through, and trying to pick up the pieces after that kind of deconstruction is actually something that people on the right are doing as well, to be honest. But in just in general terms, they knew, Disney knew this was going to be a difficult sell, and yet they crafted this story anyway. And because there was money involved, and because it's part of a larger franchise, they decided to ram it down the throats of the public. And by and large, the public are going to see it for the rubbish that it is. But it doesn't really make much difference, because it's all there is. Because this is more like a party line than legitimate a consumer product. It's full of social justice trash. It's full of everything that makes the world miserable these days, but you're going to get it anyway. You're still going to get it, even if it loses money. And this is why you're going to have so many people like raging on YouTube about it. And earlier in the year, we had Game of Thrones, and this is another huge franchise which flew into the side of a cliff, because here too, all of the narratives and all of the storylines collided with each other and blew it apart. In the Game of Thrones, it was more a case that they ran out of source material from George R. R. Martin, and the two men involved, who have similar background to J.J. Abrams, let's say, they didn't know what they were doing either. I mean, this idea that they're all just really smart. And that's why they're in these powerful positions in the entertainment industries. Just a complete non-starter. It's just rubbish. They haven't got a clue what they're doing. They're just there because of nepotism and in-group preference. But all right, nevertheless, the point is, the even there was a certain narrative arcs which didn't make any sense. They couldn't make any sense of them, so they just did it and handled that to the public, and then the public thought that was rubbish as well. And this is what I think 2019 has been about. It's about people in positions of power handing narratives to the general public, especially the sort of right wing leaning public, more conservative people. And they know that they're being lied to. They know these narratives don't make any sense. They know it's trash, but you're going to get them anyway. And the people in the elites, the globalists, the moguls in Hollywood, or whoever it happens to be, they just don't care that they just don't care that you can see straight through their product and their ideology and their narratives. And in Britain, the Brexit thing finally came to a close, but this again was, you see this trend where it was we were going to have a people's vote, despite the fact that people actually voted about four times. But everybody just saw straight through that people's vote, and then you had people just moving around different political parties, because all political parties are the same. But they had to weave this narrative that, well, that we need to have a legitimate vote this time. And every time we did do it, they lost. And it played out again and again and again. Now, the public knew they were being lied to. They knew that there was a certain cabal who were trying to rob them of the Brexit deal, whatever you think of that. And then the EU referendum vote of 2016, that they were looking to subvert their expectations in that regard. But it didn't matter, because the media, all of the major newspapers, really, they kept on pumping this line, and everybody knew it was rubbish. Everybody knew it was facile. I think the peak of this distrust from the general public in the in what the in truths that the elites were handing to them, and the inability of people to believe what they were being told, peak of this year probably has to be the Epstein suicide, in quotes. I mean, nobody believed that, and what's happened to that story, nobody knows. It's just gone. Poof. That's the end of that. Nobody seriously believes the story that he hung himself in his jail cell. Doesn't matter. That's the story that you're going to get anyway. And there's nothing you can do about it. Extinction Rebellion, another one. So this time around, I mean, we've gone through the establishment tried to rob us of Brexit. The establishment told us blatant lies, and crap about the Epstein murder. Extinction Rebellion was where we're ex this time we're expected to believe that all of these well-funded groups doing the dressing up in weird costumes, protesting and shutting everything down in London, telling us that the world's going to end, and then they get this free pass from the police. Greta Thunberg goes to speak, like, actually face to face with the elites at the United Nations, and they have to treat it like it's this grassroots rebellion, and nobody believes that either. Nobody took any of this seriously. Everybody saw straight through it. But nevertheless, you're going to be handed this. You're going to be handed this narrative, and you're expected to believe it because there's a more powerful agenda behind it, and nobody does, but there's nothing you can do about it anyway. And what is the effect this has on people is that they just become completely disaffected, and they check out of the whole process. I mean, the transsexual issue really dominated this year. I at first, when this arrived on the scene, I thought, well, look, all right, this is crazy, weird stuff. But I'm more, a year or two back, but I'm more interested in demographics. This is demographics, everything, and more, the warning signs are going off. And now it's like the whole Western world is sort of orbiting the issue of the transgenders. And I don't even know what I'm supposed to believe. I don't even know what the narrative is. Are men and women the same now? Are you a woman born into a man's body? But what does this say about the feminist cause? Is that bloke with the beard, who's winning the weightlifting competitions, calling himself a woman, is that, like, really a woman? What is he? Can he then be a feminist? I mean, can what happens if a man, a trans woman who was a man, then converts to Islam and wears a burqa and then gets married to a Muslim man? Is this possible? Where does all this lead? What does it mean for the feminist argument if we're all just the same? Why is it that if there's no such thing as men and women, why do the trans ones from men to women then dress up like women, like the form, the female form, what we think of as woman, They want to look like that. Well, what does it matter if there's no such thing in men and women? I understand I'm being handed this narrative, this story, this ideology, but I do, in the case of the trans issue, I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to believe. At least like in 1984, in all of 1984, O'Brien would torture Winston Smith so that Winston Smith would end up actually believing that 2 + 2 = 5. In this case, we get tortured by all this nonsense, and I don't even know what it is they want me to believe in the first place. It's just a confusing mess. Again, it's another narrative being handed from the elites that we're supposed to believe as part of a grassroots movement, which nobody understands, nobody believes in it. And it's this for me is the theme of 2019, and it's no surprise whatsoever that we saw the clown world meme of this year, where none of this stuff makes any sense. I can't believe what you are trying to get me to believe. I just can't do it. I don't even know what it is in many cases. I just know that you're gonna use force and social pressure to make me believe these crazy ideas, which I obviously don't. And so this kind of, the clown world meme encapsulated that, because all of the madness that flows from this ideology, if you could call it that, is a big joke. It's the world is unhinged. The world has become unmoored from any kind of reality, and what you get is this unreality, this surreal feeling that anything goes, anything can make sense, everything is fluid. As John David Ebert would say, it's the liquefaction of all forms. What you thought was real isn't anymore, and what's in its place is something which is actually false. You can see that it's false, but you have to believe it anyway, or in the case of some issues, they're not even sure what it is that they're telling you to believe. And it's no surprise that out of all of this, the clown world meme arose. And the movie of the year, of course, which in terms of politics and ideas, was The Joker, which I didn't actually rate very highly. I thought it was miserable. I thought the main character was a freak, and I didn't like it at all. I didn't like him. But all right, nevertheless, you can at least see here that it was the man who was an outcast, looking to rage against the world. And even this was in, I think, co-opted by the establishment. And it was in a way a convoluted story to say, well, if you don't believe in clown world, you are the clown. It becomes completely unmoored from reality, you know. And I was watching Dr. Zhivago the other day, David Lean's Dr. Zhivago film, and I did a little bit of reading up on the book by Boris Pasternak, and it's funny because Zhivago lives, Dr. Zhivago was set before, during, and after the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And the Western critics weren't actually as kind as what you might think, not in the way they were to Solzhenitsyn before he went rogue on them, of course. But what they didn't like about Dr. Zhivago was that it isn't actually just this straightforward capitalist critique of the violence and the gore and the brutality of the Bolshevik Revolution. It's more that Zhivago is an idealist. He's a romantic and a poet. And but from the perspective of the Soviet Union, this was much more dangerous and much more subversive than a straightforward capitalist critique. And I found that very interesting, because Dr. Zhivago wanders the steppes and the Siberian wastes, and he's always got this poetic imagination coming out of him. He's always got this idealism. So while the bullets are flying and people are dropping dead, he's dreaming of a romance with Julie Christie, and he's staring at snowflakes and looking up at the moon, and he sees the poetry in the wolves and things like that. And it's because essentially he's remo the world in which he lives has become so insane that he has a completely different set of values than the materialism of either the communism or capitalism, which is why in this regard the capitalists didn't really warm to him very much. But within this the Soviet Union, they actually did understand just how dangerous that was, because if you do check out and move towards a new, completely different set of ideals, you're no longer raging against the system, which has alienated you through its lies and manipulation and pressure. Instead, you've kind of gone completely off the plantation, and you're forming a completely different worldview. And in this case, it's based on idealism. And I think there's something to be said for that when you look at the sheer scale of the lies and the manipulation of truth, which we've seen throughout 2019, which is the main theme of 2019, is being handed these completely false narratives. And you can rage against that endlessly, angry, and posting it on social media or screaming at the lads at work about some piece of awful gore that you've just seen. But of course, the system doesn't really care. They're just going to carry on pumping out the lies. They're just going to carry on pumping out these false narratives. And when you do reject the crap Star Wars, or when you do say that Extinction Rebellion is a completely rubber organization, which is astroturfed, as they say, it's just the establishment speaking to the establishment. They don't care because they haven't got the power to change anything. And so you're in the situation of Dr. Zhivago wandering the steps. But at least in the case of Christmas, you can actually unironically enjoy a time when it is, you can actually unironically move on and enjoy your Christmas dinner. You can enjoy the Christmas spirit removed from all of this craziness. And I think that's actually more dangerous than when you say, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in any of this, but I do believe in something else and something more wholesome. They are kind of left frustrated rather than you raging against the machine night and day. I think what and it's been, I think, played a lot of had a lot of influence in the content that I've done this year, was searching for a different ideal, searching for a different ontology, a different way of perceiving the world. And I think Christmas is a good time to do that, actually. I think why is it that we still have these tropes, which I asked last year on the Snowman video? Why do we even bother still using these tropes if it is just about materialism? You know, why is it that you still get a bit of a glow when you have Christmas dinner? Because they don't have it all figured out. That's what it comes down to. So I'd like to. I'm probably going to take a few days away, and I'd like to thank everybody who's supported me this year. It's only really the first full year on YouTube that I've been busy, and I'm sure there'll be lots more to get into next year as well. So thanks a lot, folks. Enjoy your Christmas, and just take a time out from the madness and bask in that warm, comfy glow, because creating new ideals is what it's all about, I think. Enjoy Christmas, folks. See you later.